Hello and welcome back to another episode of the Everyday Christian Podcast. I'm your host, Chase Green. As always, this is a podcast where we remind ourselves that God deserves every praise from every creature every day. We're continuing with the theme this season, the struggle is real. And in this episode, we're looking at the topic, struggling with selfishness. If we're all being honest, we probably have all struggled with this at some point in our lives. You might recognize our co-host for this episode, because he is my co-host on the Father Time podcast as well, Brother Matt McBrayer. Appreciate you helping us with this podcast, Matt.
Yeah, thanks for letting me come on.
Yep, no problem at all. In all honesty, I think Matt's a great guy. He's a selfless guy, and that's what we need to be as Christians. We need to be selfless, and we need to focus on others more than ourselves. So this is certainly an important topic. There are a lot of people who struggle with this. Matt, what do you think about that? Is it a sign of this, of the time, so to speak, that there's a lot of people that suffer with selfishness?
Yeah, I mean, this is kind of running rampant. There's a lot of people out there that just think only about themselves, looking out for number one. You hear that from time to time. But yeah, it used to be, we would hear things in the church where, people are like, well, I just want to come and serve. And now when people are looking for a congregation, they're thinking, what can this congregation do for me? What kind of, you have a bunch of kids here. Can we do a youth program? You're going to be able to babysit my kids for me, but just outside of that, which the world in general, is all about themselves. Now, I'm treading on dangerous ground here, but I don't know. We're at a restaurant the other day, and I took a selfie of all of us at the restaurant, because it was the first time that we had taken our baby to a restaurant. And we're like, hey, look, where's our first restaurant selfie? And my kids were poking fun at me because I really didn't know what I was doing, because I probably the only selfie I've taken in 10 years. And, but if you walk around town, you will see people taking selfies of themselves all the time. I guess it was a group selfie or whatever, but yeah, people are always taking pictures of themselves and just kind of being self-absorbed, and are the things that we have in front of us, our cell phones, TV, all this plays out to having a quick fix for the self, thinking about, well, what makes me happy in the moment? This thing does. I'm going to just focus on this thing, or I'm going to focus on, my phone or whatever. There's a lot of just quick fixes to boredom and all that, which all kind of plays together to where, we just kind of want things our way. I guess this is the Burger King generation. Just have it your way. But
yep. No, you're exactly right. And I think that this describes well some things that we read in the scriptures. Romans 1 verses 18 through 21 says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because although they knew God," this is talking about wicked people, "they did not glorify him as God, nor were they thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened." What are we describing here? Idolatry of self, and doing whatever one wants, do as thou wilt mentality. And then 2 Timothy 3, verses 1 through 5. By the way, both of these sections of Scripture had immediate application at the time they were written, right? But they also apply to today pretty well also, definitely. 2 Timothy 3, verses 1 through 5. "But know this, that in the last days," we've been in the last days. Hebrews chapter 1 tells us that Jesus sat down at the right hand of the throne of God in these last days. So we've been in the last days for a long time. "But know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, and from such people turn away. So, you know, I just take a look around and we see these selfish mindsets of sin all around us.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Speaking of sin, is selfishness itself, is it a sin?
So, yeah, we are commanded as Christians to not be selfish, therefore making it a sin. I think some people kind of get confused. I hope I'm not stepping on anything that you've prepared in this. But, you know, sometimes people don't understand the difference between selfishness and then self-care or something along those lines where you have to take care of yourself. It's not selfish for me to, you know, if I have some kind of a dangerous health problem that I need to exercise for or diet for or take a medicine, you know, if I have to do that, for me to do that, that's not selfish. That's just taking care of myself. That's self-care. But yeah, you know, we're commanded to not do this. 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 24, let no one seek his own, but each one the other's well-being. And, you know, just to kind of illustrate this before we get into any more scriptures on this subject, I have oftentimes challenged somebody, I've not heard one that you know what, listen, if somebody emails and comes up with a really good one, I want to know it. Okay. So if challenge here, I'm hope someone accepts this challenge, but name a sin that is not the result of selfishness. Just name one. I've heard of people saying, well, what if you have to kill someone who's, you know, a bad person to save other people, but you're not, you know, like, you know, just something random, you know, like this is not in your purview. You're not some kind of, person that's able to do this. You're not an executioner or whatever, but you've got a hit on somebody. You know what? Go kill this person and I won't kill your family. You're like, well, okay, well, you're going to commit a sin to do that. And you're like, well, that's selfless because you're like saving your family. No, that's selfish because you love your family so much that you're willing to go and do something wrong in order to save them.
Which is going to hurt another family.
Right, right.
Which is selfishness. Right.
Yeah. So, yeah. Yeah, there's all kinds of, you know, things to think about here. You know, Philippians 2:3, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. You know, that's the mindset we're supposed to have, is to, you know, look at other people as being better than us and not doing things because we have selfish ambitions. James 3:16, here's a good verse for, you know, selfishness leads to, you know, all sin here. All sin is a result of selfishness. For where envy is, James 3:16, for where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there.
Yep.
So you hear that? If you're selfish, then, you know, you're thinking about yourself and you're thinking about envy, all those things, confusion and every evil thing. You know, yep. So yeah, selfishness is definitely a sin. And I think it's a sin that we can really easily get caught up in because, man, you know, it's one of those silent sins for a while. It'll come out probably eventually. But if you are a selfish person, then yeah, it's maybe you only know it for a little while.
Yeah. Now, the middle letter in the word sin is I. By the way, the middle letter in the word pride, which, Lord willing, we plan to talk about next week, is also I. So there's a lot of connection here. Mm-hmm. But you mentioned Philippians 2:3. If you look at verses 4 and 5 there, it says, let each of you look out not only for his own interest, but also for the interest of others. You know, that brings in the self-care, too. You know, looking out for your own interest, sure. Within proper boundaries, self-care. But also look out for the interest of others. Let this mind be in you, which also was in Christ Jesus. Well, Christ Jesus loved us so much that he gave himself for us. That is the that is the utmost selflessness. And certainly Christ was never selfish. I think also of Romans 12, verses 1 through 3. That's a famous passage that tells us we need to transform our lives for Christ. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, notice this, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. That bleeds over into our topic for next week, pride. But, you know, I've done a lot of rethinking in the last several years. This idea of self-esteem, you know, that's a big phraseology that's used so much. And I know what people typically mean by it, and they typically mean well. But I've been trying to actually get away from that idea of self-esteem, which is esteeming ourselves more highly than we ought to think, which tends to lead toward pride. And instead, replacing that term with the idea of self-worth, because what are we worth? Our soul's worth more than the entire world because Jesus died for it. He purchased our souls with his blood. And so self-worth, I think, is a better term than self-esteem. I think mm-hmm. we've raised generations of narcissists who think too highly of themselves and, oh, self-esteem, you know, you've got to think highly of yourself. And, you know, you're the best. You're wonderful. You're the best compared to everybody else. And no, we need to think of ourselves lowly and humbly. I also think of Matthew 16, verse 24. Then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow after me. So you have any thoughts on that before we move on to our next question?
Yeah, I like what you said about self-esteem. Now, I guess maybe to qualify my statements here before I continue on is the fact that I do hold a degree in it's human services. I didn't get my clinical hours to get licensed as a counselor because I moved for preaching. But I do have a background in psychology and counseling. There was this comedian that I can't tell you what his name was, but he was making a joke about people going to therapy. And he's like, here, like all these people are going to therapy, but here's the problem is like, we just don't seem to be getting better. And he said, he was talking to a friend and they're like, oh yeah, I've got anxiety issues. And he said, what are you doing about it? And he's like, nothing. I just told you so you can work around it, you know? And that's kind of everybody's mindset. It's like, no, you think about me. You make the change. I'm not going to make a change. You make the change because I'm too lazy to make the change.
Yeah, and everybody's a victim. Yeah, everybody's a victim, and we're just in a mess as a society in our collective thought processes. They're patently unbiblical. If you want to know the truth. And a lot of
absolutely.
A lot of it boils down to selfishness. So.
Yeah.
How can we combat selfishness in our lives if we do struggle with that? And like I said at the beginning, we've all struggled with it at some point. Maybe we still do. But how do we combat that?
Yeah. So I think one thing is to go over to 1 Corinthians 13 and think about love. You need to love others. And this really boils down to a lot of different things. But what 1 Corinthians 13, 4 and 5 says, love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil. You know, we need to learn to love. If we can love other people, then we're going to be a whole lot less selfish because those things don't go together. Love and selfishness do not go together. If you question that, you know, you're probably single. Because you cannot be a married person and not understand that, at least not have a successful marriage. You've got to think of your spouse, you know, a lot more than you do yourself at times. Another thing I think is Romans 15:2. Let each of us please his neighbor for his good. leading to edification. You know, think about other people, you know, the way to combat selfishness is to humble ourselves and think about other people. You know, we've got to, you know, instead of, you know, thinking about what we can get out of something, we think about what we can give to somebody else. Unfortunately, that's not the mindset of the average person in America. We are thinking about what we can do. Think about, you know, oh, I want to get wealthy. This is what I can do to get wealthy. That's, you know, there's nothing wrong with wealth in and of itself. But, you know, a better mindset would be, hey, you know what? I want to get wealthy. I want to be out of debt so I can help other people. That's, you know, what I want to do. I want to help others. I want to serve God better. And I can do that with maybe a little more funds. That's why I want to do this thing. Just getting rich to be rich is boring. Getting rich and, you know, using that to the glory of God is amazing. There's no reason for wealth without God.
You know, the selfish mindset of climbing the corporate ladder, and I'm gonna step over anybody I can who gets in my way. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna bulldoze them. You know, that sort of mindset, and I don't care who I have to hurt to get there. You know, that again in the workplace, that would be an example of utmost selfishness.
Yeah, you know, I think about that with brethren in particular. You know, I've seen this a lot in the church where people, they want to get credit for something. And, you know, and I think we've all been there to some degree. I start playing a game with myself, and that is, I like to hear my words come out of other people's mouths. What I mean by that is, I want to teach them something. And maybe I teach them, or I teach them the right thing that they need to do. And then the next thing I know is they're saying, this is the right thing to do. And they're saying the same thing that I taught them. You know, that feels better than, well, Matt said, you know, when they're like, the Bible says, and you know that you taught them the Bible. That's good. That's what needs to happen. But yeah, you know, and I think this goes back to that Philippians 2:3, you know, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit. But you know, you need to esteem others better than yourself. You know, that same thought process is here. So, you know, you've got to humble yourself and think of other people. And that really does start with, you know, loving someone other than yourself.
Great point. Jesus, others, and then yourself last, you know, the old acronym JOY.
Yep.
Sometimes that can be oversimplified, I think.
Right.
But I do think that there's merit to the basic teaching of it. What about this? You know, I've heard it said for people who struggle with their giving that they're selfish in their giving. And so every time you're tempted not to give what you probably should when it comes to the contribution to the church, give a little more, and then maybe you're tempted again. Give a little more, and then the third time you're tempted not to give. Give a little more. Eventually, the devil's gonna be like, "Well, I don't want to keep tempting him with that because he just gives more every time." Same kind of idea with this, I think. Selfishness. If we're tempted to be selfish and to put our own interest ahead of others, maybe when we find ourselves tempted with that, why don't we make a point to go out of our way to do something in service to somebody else, to another Christian, or to somebody in the community, etc. Maybe the devil will stop tempting us with it.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, I did that very same thing when it came to giving, except this was back in the day when everybody carried cash, and I carried, you know, cash with me all the time. And so, you know, whenever I started studying giving, I was like, well, you know, I guess I need to give. And then I'd like pull like a 20 out of my wallet, which as I started studying, realized that's not enough. That's you make more money than that. You should give more than that. And so when I started realizing that and realizing how much you need to give, like the thoughts started coming in, well, you know, I don't have enough money for, you know, this or that, or, you know, I won't be able to eat out, or I won't be able to do that, you know, this thing that's fun, or buy this thing that I really want if I give that. That thought entered my mind. I took out my wallet and I took every dollar bill out of there and put it in. That, you know, gets rid of that in a heartbeat. You know,
yeah.
The devil stops tempting you with that one. Same thing, like you said, you know, here, empty yourself in the service. Mm-hmm. And you know what? You'll find that that's far better anyway.
It's the best therapy. I mean,
yeah, it is.
When I have found myself down in the dump sometimes as a minister, there have been times when I was feeling very low, and then I would go visit the shut-ins or go visit somebody in the hospital, and I come out of that visit and feeling great. I'm like, man, you know what? I feel good because, number one, I went and prayed with this person and yeah, visited them and brightened their day, and they brightened my day, you know?
Yeah.
And so sometimes mm-hmm. the best therapy is to stop being selfish and go and do something for somebody else. And
yeah,
of course God knows that. I mean, that's why that's such an important element of the faith, is serving others. God mm-hmm. knows that we need that. We need to be serving others. But of course, we in our selfishness and our foolishness, we don't always want to cooperate with that.
But yeah, we should. Yeah, absolutely.
Can you think of anything parents in particular might want to think about as it pertains to teaching their children not to be selfish?
Yeah, I think this, you know, the advice I have here is a little bit more practical. You know, we've gone over the scriptures that say these things, that you've got to, you know, not think about yourself and think about others. And you can do that in various ways, I'm sure, with your kids. But I'd say, first of all, make sure that they know that life does not revolve around them.
Amen.
That is one of the biggest problems I see with parenting right now. Is, oh, well, we got to do this because, you know, they are, you know, they don't want to go to that. Or they don't like, you know, sometimes just simply going out to eat sometimes, you know, my kids, I've got six kids now, you know, and so like everybody doesn't agree. And so there've been times where like I'll have, you know, kids complain and they'll be like, oh, I don't want to do that, you know? And I was like, guess what? I pay for it. So I want to go where I want to go, you know? So I'm paying for it. Now, guess what? It's a privilege to get to go out to eat. We did not do that very much for my family growing up. So you can enjoy. And guess what? Tough. All right. You know, it's not a bad thing. You know, maybe right. You don't like the restaurant as much, but I really don't care. You get the cheapest thing on the menu. I'll go get you some Taco Bell afterwards. You know, like I don't care. And, but like life does not revolve, you know, around them. We had this problem when it came to sports. We for a short period of time tried sports, and, you know, I love sports. Okay. I love them. They're fun. I played several sports, and so I enjoyed it. But my kids, you know, two of my kids played soccer, and, at first they were on different teams, and we were like, we can't do this. And so we just asked, can they be on the same team? And they're like, yeah, sure, we can do that. And so then they're on the same team. And it was like, we ate, slept, and breathed soccer. Okay. You know, and I like soccer. Okay. I played soccer, you know. I realized really quickly, we're never doing this again. You know, we're not. I don't like there. We have, you know, there are things that would come up in the church, and we would have to say, okay, are we going to choose this thing or the other? And we would choose the church. You know, it's like no brainer. But, you know, then the team was like, well, weren't you here? You know, and we're letting them down. And so it's like, listen, we're just not doing this again. And, you know, I've got too many kids now that if they all did something, I wouldn't have time for anything else. And we need to kind of let children know that, you know, life does not revolve around them. And I think that is probably not done well these days. Yeah. A lot of parents just make choices based off what their kids are going to do, even attending services. Well, my kids go to bed early. They go to school, so they go to bed early, so we don't come on Wednesday night, or we don't come on Sunday night. And it's like, wow, you're you're telling them that not only is school more important than God, but they're more important than God. Yep. And they're not going to be faithful with that kind of a mindset. So, yeah, teaching your kids first and foremost that they are not the center of the universe is going to be a good thing. Now, you can do that in several ways, and you can be creative with it. You can teach them to serve, and you need to teach them to love. And those things go hand in hand with this aspect of being selfless. But I think the first and foremost thing that most people are going to have to deal with these days is teaching their kids that they don't come first.
Right. Yep, that's a great point. You mentioned the sports thing and, you know, parents skipping out on worship because travel ball's got you, you know, gone every weekend. And that's just tip of the iceberg. But, you know, I think of different things like don't let them fight over their toys.
Right.
Don't let them complain. Don't, you know, complaining is a sin. We don't talk about that enough, but it is.
Right.
You know, the Bible teaches that complaining is a sin. So don't let your kids complain. Don't let them refuse to eat their vegetables.
Yeah.
As something as simple as that. If we allow our kids to rule the roost, so to speak, when it comes to dinner time, then we're breeding selfishness in them.
Yeah.
Don't let them have an attitude. You know, you mentioned the world does not revolve around them. Don't let them have an attitude of me. I.
Yeah.
I. Mm-hmm. You know, what's in it for me? Because again, that is going to lead to selfishness in their hearts. And maybe we had parents that bred that in our hearts. Then we need to rid it. We need to get rid of it out of our hearts. So struggling with selfishness, there's a lot of it to go around these days. But as Christians, we've got to get rid of it. I appreciate you, Matt, for helping us out with this episode. Lord willing, we're planning on having Matt for another episode next week as we talk about pride. So we hope that you'll tune in for that. Thanks, Matt. Appreciate it.
Hey, thank you.
Yes, sir. And so, Lord willing, if you will, tune in next Monday for another episode of the Everyday Christian Podcast.